This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy. Hey everyone, and welcome once again to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. At iFanboy.com, we read a lot of comics, and then once a week, one of us will pick the best one and write up a little love letter to that comic, and then we come here and chat about it, among other things. I am Josh. I'm here with Connor.
Hello.
And who's very exuberant, and Ron, who has his pick this week. So take it away, Richards.
All right, thank you, Josh. So for the week of January 25th, I had a lot of books.
You always have a lot of books, though.
Well, no, I mean, a couple of weeks ago I had like five. I do have my down weeks, though it does appear as if I had a lot of more often than not have a lot of books as opposed to not a lot of books. But so it was a big week, so it was really, really hard to pick. And there was probably one obvious book that everybody thought I was going to pick. And, you know, I went the other direction. I didn't pick it.
Was that Gotham Central?
No, it was not Gotham Central. Did that come out this week?
No.
That comes out next week, I think.
That
right?
was a joke.
No, the big book that I thought was gonna pick was Daredevil number 81. In a moment. But after going through my stack of predominantly Marvel and a couple of Image books, actually all Marvel and one Image. Oh God, I didn't even realize that. I went with Savage Dragon number 122. Savage Dragon, written and drawn and lettered by Eric Larson.
He actually staples them himself.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Mails them out.
He's got the little press where the paper, you know, and he's cutting the pages.
He's got a hand crank.
But this is a real dark horse in terms of, well, no, I'm sorry. It was a real unexpected pick.
Ooh,
because,
comic
pun. Yeah, I don't remember the last time, I don't remember when Savage Dragon number 121 came out. I literally don't know when it came out. It might have been last year.
I'll do you one better. I didn't realize it was still being published.
I agree.
Well, what happened was is that, for those of you who don't know and don't keep track of the movings and goings on in Image, maybe a year ago, I don't know when it happened, but Jim Valentino was replaced as publisher of Image and replaced by Eric Larson.
I fear it was a lot longer than that.
Do you think it was?
I really do think it was.
Yeah. And of course, predictably, once he started working as the publisher, his own book kind of took a backseat.
Was it ever very regular before that?
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, it was regular all through the 90s, and then he was on that push to get to the 100th issue or whatever, the 104 mark to beat the Fantastic Four, you know? And remember when he rebooted? No, he didn't reboot it, but took the all-new, different direction after issue number 75.
Yeah, that's actually when I started to try it, and that was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little mistake, but that was cool. But because he kind of took a risk, and that was a good time. But it went, and then once he hit 104, he got really kind of esoteric and got kind of very I have no idea if I used that word correctly, and probably I didn't.
You did.
But I did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, score. But anyway,
that diploma wasn't a waste of time, after all.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. The book really fell after 104. It just didn't really stay cohesive. The stories got really weird. And where actually to show how dated this was, the story arc that was going on around issue 120, issue 121 involved Savage Dragon inadvertently being put into the presidential election of 2004 to run for president. And as you can tell, it's now 2006, and they're still talking about the election as if it was last week when it was, unfortunately, a very long time ago.
So what was so good about it?
What was good about it was that it just knocked me on my ass in terms of reminding me what's good about Savage Dragon.
Which is,
you know, there's a lot of... Eric Larson is a big comic book fan, you know, from a kid, and it shows in the book that he does. He knows, you know, in terms of, like, the true superhero kind of comic book, what works and what doesn't work. There's, you know, action, there are fights, but there's also... you know, subplots and dialogue and storylines that go through the issues, and he tends to plant a lot of seeds early on that come to fruition later on in the book, and there's continuity and he's mixed that all together, and for some reason this issue honestly stands out as the best Savage Dragon issue I remember reading in years.
It's the only one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the only
yeah, that's
one.
Tough.
But
this was the best Lord of the Rings movie to come out in 2003.
But I think it was mainly because it had been so long and it didn't feel as if it was so long. He was able to recap what had happened, move the story in a direction, give exposition, and really make every page worth reading and reading a couple of times. I mean, it was just kind of like there was a couple of wow moments, there was a couple of really cool moments. And like I said earlier, like with the issue 75 when he rebooted it, he's been playing with the medium and playing with the book, and it's kind of like his own comic playground. And part of it is that he's already created this whole back history of the Savage Dragon universe and everything. Part of it has to do with the character Super Patriot, and interspersed throughout the entire book are single pages from an old Super Patriot comic that might have been out in the 60s or 70s. And it looks like it existed in the 60s or 70s. The coloring is off, like you can see, like the dots, and like, you know, remember how in the old books when like they're a blue costume and a red costume, and there would be like that weird purple line where the two colors met.
Mm-hmm.
That's there. He actually he stole the lettering from Artie Smeck, who was an old letterer in the 60s or 70s, and actually cut each letter to make the lettering of this page. Like, he really put a lot of time and effort
into this device. So he's obsessed.
No, I think he's obsessed.
He's dedicated.
Like, he's dedicated. I mean, the pages look Neil Adams, 1968, 1969.
So that's not a terribly unusual practice, because I've seen that in a lot of stuff. If you've ever read The Century, they did that a lot.
Yeah, but
if you ever read Alan Moore's Supreme, that was basically based on that kind of thing.
Yeah, but what was neat about it struck me is that I know the device has been used before, but I've been reading a lot of comics, and if you handed this book to somebody who doesn't know much about comics and said, "Oh, that's a page from 1969," it probably would be believable. Whereas the other ones I remember, like The Century, wasn't done very well.
Check out Supreme.
Okay, I'll check out Supreme. I never did read them.
It's Alan Moore, so it's very odd. I don't know if I think it's necessarily good, but I think it is good. But it uses that device a lot.
Yeah.
And they look the same way. They look like vintage aged pages.
Anyway. Yeah, now keep in mind that it's not the whole story. I mean, it's only like three pages in the whole book. But the thing is that also it's going to tie into future issues, because you just know it, because there wasn't a direct tie-in into this issue. It was just kind of thrown in there. And it was one of those things where I'm really curious about, okay, why is this here? Why are we explaining this back history? And you know, and so it's really intrigued, and it's got me very excited for the next issue. Hopefully the next issue will come out.
Is this the last of the original Image books?
It's got to be.
Well, no. Let's see. Well, Spawn's still kicking.
Is it?
Unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm
proud of both of you for not for it.
Here's the
not
thing,
quite
though.
Knowing.
Well, I stopped Spawn at issue 100. I went 100 issues of Spawn.
Jesus.
And I stopped. And I have no idea why I'm saying Spawn, with, like, my why my Long Island accent is coming out so strong with that, but for some reason I say Spawn like Spawn.
Spawn.
Spawn. It's like my mom.
Think about back when Image started and how big that was, and think about it, and fast forward to now, and how irrelevant it is. It's amazing.
Well, let's see. So, Liefeld's a joke. We know that. Hey, Larson.
I didn't say that.
Yeah. Neither Josh nor I said that.
Larson's still kicking with Savage Dragon. Spawn's still kicking around, but McFarlane isn't doing it. McFarlane's making toys. He doesn't work on it. He's got to focus on producing Torso.
Yeah.
Which you should worry about, ooh. I think. Not that I know anything about.
Interesting, McFarlane-Larson bit here.
Yeah.
I, for some reason, never really liked Eric Larson for some reason. I don't know, his work doesn't appeal to me or whatever. And I think it all goes back to he was the artist to follow Todd McFarlane.
Yes, on Spider-Man.
On Amazing Spider-Man. And that was right when I was reading, right when I started reading comics. And I absolutely loved Todd McFarlane's Amazing Spider-Man. And then this other guy comes along, and it looked like he was trying to ape the style, but it was all sort of angular, and I didn't like it nearly as much. And so since then, I've always held a small grudge against him. Now, since then, obviously, you know, Larson takes McFarlane.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about that is that I read Spider-Man as well, and I enjoyed McFarlane and everything, but I loved Larson's run after McFarlane in that book. I thought
you
it was
just
great,
love Larson.
Well, I don't know, something about his art and something about it just...
I know, it's not, I'm saying it's a bad thing, because you love everything
and
he's done.
And honestly, when Image started, it was the fact that, like, McFarlane and Liefeld and Lee leaving and starting their own thing, I could understand, but it was Valentino and Larson's participation in it that made me kind of go, and take a look at it. Because I'm like, well, those guys are like rock stars and they're going to do what they're going to do. But these guys, I feel, are real comics guys. And if they're doing something new, it's worth looking at.
And so, how wrong we all were.
Yeah, tell me about it. But Valentino's got another incarnation of Shadowhawk up and about.
Does anyone care?
Sure. No, not at all.
He's a grizzled man.
He's a very grizzled man.
Kid, you want me to tell you about comics? Let me tell you about comics.
No! When I was writing Guardians of the Galaxy...
Oh, anyway, boy.
I saw him once, man. He smelled like about 3 packs of cigarettes. just grizzled.
Who's having a harder time at the con, him or Steve Dillon?
Steve Dillon's having more fun.
Talk about needing a cigarette and a drink.
I can't even remember what happened last night, mate.
He's fantastic, though. Anyway, so... So yeah, Savage Dragon was good, and it, you know, like I said, it really showed the a love of comics, and even further, Larson continues to, he's at the point where he's almost single-handedly doing the book himself. He's now, you know, drawing it, writing it, he's doing the colors, and he's trying to learn lettering. Wait a minute. What?
It's just letters.
He's not using a computer, though, is he?
Well, hang on. Let's not get on the inkers or the letterers. I think lettering is an important, role. You know?
Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing letterers, but
Clem Robbins will come after you.
But he even mentions
if you're learning letters, you think the color would be the hardest thing to learn.
Well, I think he tackled the colors first, and then he took an effort at the computer lettering efforts and said that it took a lot to be desired, so now he's trying to learn hand lettering first.
Well, it's got to be hard because of the way he holds the pencil.
Oh, Jesus. I guess he's lefty and he holds it like he goes back in time to hold the pencil? I mean, like, that's what it seems like. It's like...
He has, I don't even know how to describe it. It's as if you, take your hand and put it out in front of you as if you were doing something dirty to yourself. Now place the pen pointing back towards yourself and loosely hold it.
Yeah.
And then move your hand around it. That's how he draws.
Yeah, it was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen at a convention.
It really was.
And I got 2 sketches and it was anyway. But it was really, really, really good, and it just really felt like a comic book, and it was comic book for fun, superhero, fun's sake.
Have to say I was shocked when you posted it. Because we don't normally discuss, sort of leave it to be a surprise for everybody, discuss what we're going to put up there. When I didn't see Daredevil, I was pretty shocked.
Well, I got to be honest with you, it was tough. As good as Daredevil was, and it was very, very good, this one just edged it out. Because Daredevil, I tend to not like, I'm a little sad that he's leaving.
This is a seminal moment. This is the end of a run that is... going to be legendary.
Well, here. So what did you guys think of Daredevil number 81?
You know what? Because you didn't pick it, I forgot about it. I forgot that it mattered. Like, because I only had, like, two books, so, like, I saw you, I was like, oh, he did that, and I read it the next day, and I started reading it, and I was like, oh, wait, this is the last issue. And had you picked it, I would have known that coming into it. But instead, I sort of read it and went, that felt final, and then there's his huge letter at the end where he, you know, says thank you and everything. And that's when I sort of realized that this has been going on a long time.
A long-ass time.
Yeah, I mean, he took over. David Mack did a storyline after Kevin Smith did when it started.
Right.
And then he's been on it since then?
Yeah, it was like 2000 or 2001.
That is just excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we've complained about. Hey, I wish there was something like this.
Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've been saying it for years now that this is the one of the best runs on any book for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is a classic run.
I mean, up if you want to
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And now you've kicked dirt all over it.
No, I haven't kicked it. Well, the thing is that while I liked it a lot, I also felt it was a little rushed. I felt like it was kind of a hurry up. Okay, let's close up shop. Let's finish this up.
I actually can agree with that a little bit.
Yeah,
but at the same time, everybody's big complaint about his book is that it takes so long to do anything.
Yeah, and I crams it all in there, and it's yeah.
But the thing is, I've never had a problem with it taking so long to do anything with his books. Either. You know, like I enjoy the journey, and I felt like the last four pages between the end of the trial and the thing with the kingpin, and then them all in jail, just happened way too quick. It just it like my neck hurt.
Did you read that? By the way, hopefully you've already read this, or we've just ruined it for you.
Well,
it's fine.
It's a known.
Yeah,
yeah,
it should be. But Brubaker volunteered for it.
I read that, and I thought that was fantastic.
Because that's the thing we kept saying, oh, man.
Like, that was in his letter,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, it was, yeah. So.
And it set up a very interesting premise.
Yeah.
It set up a great premise. And
all
and looking
of
at
Daredevil and every major adversary in the same prison block.
I feel like I've read it before somewhere, though. I don't know why. You know, who cares? Who knows?
You just watch a lot of Oz.
I maybe.
Yeah.
I every night.
So, but the one thing I thought, one thing that I thought was unintentionally funny, and maybe it was intentionally funny, when they were showing the shots of the reactions in the courtroom.
I'm looking at that page right now, about to bring it up. Go ahead.
Are you talking about the tie?
Yep.
All right. Does Captain America have to wear a freaking?
Is he out?
I think he's out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, because if he wasn't, he is now. Here's the other. Here's the other stupid thing, though.
Yep.
There's Peter Parker sitting there.
Yep.
Come on. He's not that stupid. He's sitting
there. Everybody else
there is known, and he's going to be right there. People are going to, I mean.
Well, no, he's purposely not sitting with them, and he's a photographer for a paper. I mean, I think
he's not working right there.
Yeah, but I that's plausible that he would be there. They've been friends long.
You also need the
tie
because it could be any random blonde dude.
Yeah, you don't know who it is with that. But you know, put the shield as a pin on his jacket,
or put the little wings on his head.
So did you think?
Did you think when you were reading it that Bullseye came along and killed what's her name? And
yeah.
I completely bought that.
I did too. I went, oh, jeez.
Yeah, I completely bought the entire sequence. I completely bought it.
I was like, he kind of escaped from jail quickly, but I can buy it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, a year later, okay. Oh, Electra,
did you see his foofy French scarf when he got to France?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is that? Get a neckerchief all of a sudden?
You got to blend in.
You could tell it wasn't real, though, because that's not Daredevil's costume anymore.
Bullseyes.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Bullseye. Sorry.
Yeah,
I do that every time.
The second page, that's when I caught on. But at first, when he wakes up and his wife is dead.
He's dead,
Oof. Ouch.
I would have gone with that, too, by the way. Him killing.
You would have gone with that?
He could have ended up in the same place if he just goes down and kills Bullseye. It would be kind of cool to do it quickly like that, because whenever they'd kill somebody like that, they'd hype it up months in advance, and they would build it up in the story. It would be this big thing. Whereas in real life, what would probably happen would be something would happen, he would lose it, snap his neck, and it'd be done right away, which is like it was done in this book. But
well, that's when I knew it wasn't real, because it has two.
But he would have ended up in jail at the end anyway.
True.
It could have ended the same way.
Yeah. But it was. I mean, I don't want my non pick of the week status of the book to detract from the fact that it was a very good book and a very good ending to a great run.
It was funny. I actually dropped this in the middle.
Yes, you did. I remember that.
I did, from like 40 to 50 or 35 to 50 or something.
Do you remember why you did
that? Complaint. Probably employment, but also probably because it was moving slower. I was just feeling it wasn't doing anything, and then I
it did hit a repetitive. At one point, it got a bit repetitive.
At a point when Murdoch was being drawn to look like Ben Affleck, and it was he'd been outed like for a second time, and I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah. So, I still love – I mean, this book had some great – like the confrontation between him and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and Mr. Fantastic, like that in the park. Do you remember that issue?
Yes.
The argument, that was great. And the – I mean, there were just a lot of great – I mean, this was – I mean, I've –
I like when Reed stood up in court. Please, Your Honor. Please, Your Honor.
But I'm Reed Richards. He's just got a judge who just doesn't care.
Doesn't care at all. So it was very good.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, and it was amazing. And the cover of last issue with Black Widow wearing his costume under her costume meant nothing.
Yes.
So
no, looked nice.
I'm glad to hear that Bendis and Maleev are going to stick together. And I don't know how excited
Spider-Woman?
I am. Spider-Woman. Eh. Yes, but
she's sexy.
But but on top of Daredevil, it was just like Bendis-arama this week.
Yeah.
Between. New Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, The Pulse, and Daredevil. I mean, four of his main books coming out in 1 week.
Well, so, you still buying The Pulse?
I bought The Pulse, yeah. It was good. The Pulse was in the running for the pick of the week.
Wow.
What?
It was really good. It was really, really good. It had Michael Gaydos as the art. You know I love the stuff from Alias. It was The Pulse was the birth of Jessica's baby, and it was a really good episode.
You do that a lot, you know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's indicative of where things are going.
No, I just watch a lot of TV and talk a lot about it.
No, I think Bendis, for example, structures his issues like episodes of episodic television.
Well, he's even said that's his influence is that he's a big television geek too.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting was that for the past year and a half of The Pulse and Secret War and New Avengers happening and it feeling like they were behind schedule and not tied in, they tied it in excellently because something that happened in New Avengers is referenced and is a direct plot point in the Pulse, mm-hmm. which is, as the continuity freak as I am, I absolutely loved.
Right.
And I have no idea if someone who didn't read both books, if they could get it or if they would get it or not.
Right.
But the whole, I don't know if anybody read New Avengers, if I'm the only one or not. But,
I'm on trades.
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, in New Avengers, there's a standoff between Jameson and Tony Stark.
Yes.
And that's referenced to in The Pulse, like, directly.
Oh, Jameson's the slimy weasel.
Yeah, basically. So what happens is that Jameson agrees not to before they in New Avengers, which was great, by the way. Ms. Marvel made a statement that she always loved the lineup announcement
those,
day.
Those issues were always great. Those are the seminal Avengers issues.
Yep. The first Avengers issue I ever got was the lineup issue when Rage was on the team.
Ugh.
Jesus.
I know, yeah. But hey, whatever. It was like 1990 or 91 or something.
Those are the best issues. Who's going to be on the new Avengers? And like everybody's in the cover. And then
it was such a great issue. I still have that issue. I love that issue. But it was really cool. And then so Jameson comes and they say, listen, Spider-Man's on the team. Don't write anything bad about him. And we'll give you full access to the Avengers and blah, blah, blah. And so Jameson agrees. And then he immediately
turns around and stabs him in the back and
stabs and tears apart all the Avengers. He doesn't say anything bad about Spider-Man, but tears apart all of the Avengers.
The other Avengers. Excellent.
You know, alcoholic, heroin addict, you know, like all the, like every bad thing about all of them. And then in The Pulse, supposedly the Bugle had the rights to covering Jessica's birth, and she calls Jameson and tells him, you know, after what you said about Luke Cage, screw you, and tells him to go F himself.
See, I only had one problem with New Avengers.
What?
Which was that new artist Frank Cho, who I really like.
Yep.
He drew Miss Marvel a little bit Russ Meyer-ish.
He does that. He always does that.
Yeah,
does,
but
that,
I mean, this is like more so than the other.
Have you ever read Liberty Meadows?
No.
It's actually pretty good. I got a trade of it, at least one. But like, that's his thing.
Yeah, but I mean, more than the other female characters in the book. There's one panel where it's just ridiculous.
The panel when they have their backs to us and her and Captain America are walking away and there's more ass than costume.
Yeah.
It's just it's bad.
I don't think that's a problem with the specific artist. I think that's a problem with comics in general.
Well,
just, I mean, depending on who's doing it. But even, I mean, everybody does it. If you read Why the Last Man, you know, Pia Guerra draws like that. It's just the problem.
I do like how the same joke is in both issues of the Pulse and New Avengers when with Jameson, where Robertson
says he'll quit.
Threatens to quit. Yeah, that happened in both issues, which is funny. But I mean, it was a good week for Bendis. It was good. Although I do have to say that I, and this might just be me being partial to X-Men or whatever, but I still don't like the way he writes Wolverine.
So, why? What's your problem with it?
I just feel like he's too stereotypical Wolverine, you know?
Oh, please. If he did it differently, you'd be like, that's not Wolverine. What's stereotypical Wolverine? That means that it's how he's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it has him, you know, taking the milk out of the fridge and drinking it out of the carton.
That's what Wolverine does.
But
he doesn't have time
for
glasses and the little claws knock them over and scratch them.
It just seems as if he's not like this in the X-Books.
He's got killing to do.
He does. He's no time for glasses when one's got killing.
Yeah.
Sniffing trouble.
I don't know.
He's sort of a pansy in the X-Men books.
Who, Wolverine?
Yeah.
In the which book?
I don't know. I don't read them.
Bravo.
Well
to
said.
You, sir.
Well said.
Bravo.
Well said.
All right. That's it. That's done. We're moving on. We got a spectacular letter today. I mean,
we did. We really did. I agree with you.
It was beautiful. We're not going to read the whole thing to you because it involves a man who is around 35, used to read comics and then stopped. And he sold all his comics to somebody, traded it for a guitar. That person eventually became a crack addict and sold all of those comics.
How American is that?
When he tried to get them back. And then he stopped reading them, and now he's back and reading them. But he had some questions for us.
Well, he discovered comics through graphic novels at Barnes & Nobles.
His son
was playing X-Men on the PlayStation.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. They play the video game, then they want to go see the comics. So
it only really works, though, if you had been reading them for a good 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Beforehand.
So this is from Jason.
Yes, Jason is his name.
Okay, I'll ask the question. First question is: Are these graphic novels collections of issues? Apparently, we use the term trades, and he wanted to know what a trade is, basically.
Yeah, he picked up when he was at Barnes & Noble with his son. He picked up the trades of Astonishing X-Men and Avengers Disassembled, which you recently picked up, Josh, as well.
Actually, right? I got New Avengers. Yeah. I could probably get Avengers Disassembled.
Oh yeah, you probably should. I would be curious.
I only had two books, I looked real hard to try to find other stuff to get, and I was trying to pick up stuff, and I ended up buying Kirkman's Brit, but I realized I bought book two, so I had to get first. So that would have been.
Anyway, so we digress. So he wants to know whether the collections of issues are what we refer to as trades.
Yes.
And kind of the question is, what is a trade?
What is a trade?
Which is funny because it made me think about it because we throw around terms like, oh, pick up the trade or it's a trade paperback or whatever. And unless you're, neck deep in the comic world like we are, you might not know.
It's code.
And so it's it's code. I mean, my definition of what a trade paperback is that any collection of single issues reprinted and bound into a paperback form, and sold in Barnes & Noble or Borders, that's a trade paperback, whereas a graphic novel like Mouse or Tricked by Alex Robinson, which we talked about recently, or I'm trying to think of another true graphic novel.
Pedro and Me.
Pedro and Me is a graphic novel.
Blankets.
That was written Blankets. That was written to be which I need to order Blankets. I still need to get that.
Anyway, all right.
I know, but I just want to read it anyway. But it's written for the book
form,
comic book as a book, as a graphic novel.
We would also call that an OGN, original graphic novel.
OGN, right?
Invented, some say, by Will Eisner.
Yes, so that's a Contract of God, right?
That's the first one, supposedly.
Yeah. So that's how I define trade paperback. I don't know if you guys
but
agree.
I
with
would
me or not.
See because I would think that a trade. I think it's an industry term for a paperback.
Right.
Adopted by us. I mean, in parlance, yeah, what he says is right, but I think it just means, any sort of paperback of any kind, I think, can be a trade paperback, even if it's just, prose or whatever. But here, we'll say it's a collection of issues.
I've definitely used it interchangeably, but in theory, I use it the way Ron does. But
Unless it's a hard cover.
Practice, I'll throw everything around.
Well, now we are not experts, so I felt the need to consult with an expert, and so I checked Wikipedia.
Nice.
And they're
just guaranteed to be full of experts.
Their definition is a trade paperback, parentheses TPB, which is the common abbreviation, can refer to any book that is bound with a heavy paper cover that is generally cheaper than a hardcover but more expensive than a mass market paperback.
I believe that merits a suck at both of you.
But but then there's also an entry for paperback. There's also an entry for trade paperback, parentheses comics. And in comics, a trade paperback specifically refers to a collection of stories originally published in comic books reprinted in book format, usually capturing one story arc from a single title or a series of stories with a connected story arc in common.
I take my suck it back.
So, take what you will, but can a graphic novel be a trade paperback? Technically. Are trade paperbacks graphic novels? Maybe. They're just the paperback books, I think.
Does it really
matter?
That's
fair. No. Does it really matter? No, because they're reading comics, and that's what's important.
Okay,
right?
Next question.
Yep.
I haven't read New Avengers, but recently subscribed. Have any of you read this title? What do you think?
Well,
if two I may, of us. Yeah, you
I,
go
no,
ahead.
I actually just picked up the first trade because Bron insisted that I get it, and I was ravenous. I couldn't get enough. I was like,
I believe I did more than insist. I almost flew out to L.A. and walked into the store. Right?
he sent me the money for it. I said I don't have enough this week. He said, he PayPal'd me the money. And I went and I bought it, and I thank you very much because it was excellent. Yeah. It was like I was like, oh, I forgot I really did like these kind of comics because I had.
It's a really fun
superhero
book.
A long time. God, it's great. Yeah.
By the way, so Ron, don't ever PayPal me money because I'll just buy booze.
I know that. I learned that the hard way.
Well, this is actually a really controversial book.
Why?
New Avengers. It's a big controversial book. Everybody.
Why? Because Hawkeye died.
Well,
he
that's
died.
Why you hated
disassembled.
It.
I didn't hate it. No,
I
liked it.
In the beginning, there was a lot of controversy because it really took the Avengers and spun it on its head, and all the old school fans who don't like any kind of tumult in their characters hated the fact that Bendis made it more gritty, more dark, realistic style that he uses. They hated that. There's a lot of discussion on the web.
I had so much fun reading that trade.
It was great. But what Avengers has become now, instead of the family book, which it's basically the same but the same core characters since it started.
As if there's a family who's like, okay, kids, the new issue's here, and they all gather around the table.
Right.
Steaming mugs of coffee.
That's not what you do.
And then, like, what mom does, one of the voices, I'll be Mockingbird. And,
table read.
Yeah.
what Bendis did, it seems fairly obvious to me, is he took the concept of the Justice League and applied it to the Avengers. He took a lot of the big hitters from all over the Marvel Universe and added them to the Avengers. Spider-Man, Wolverine. It's sort of the Grant Morrison approach to the Justice League.
A book that's guaranteed to sell.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he took the JLA approach, because you could say that Avengers originally was the JLA approach.
No. the Avengers originally had Ant-Man and Wasp. Those aren't the heavy hitters. You take all. All
right, fair enough. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I defy you to name a heavier hitter than Thor or the Hulk.
There you go.
True, but neither are in the event. I'm confused. Anyway, but so yes, we like the new Avengers, and we strongly recommend it.
This is a book that we use as an example when people say we hate superheroes.
And you can you can jump right into. If you get that first trade, but the second.
Oh yeah, if you get the and hell, I even think if you pick up issue number 15, which came out this week, this is a great.
This is actually a really good jumping on point for people who just discovered the book.
The next trade doesn't come out until March, I think.
Right. Although it's out on hardcover, but who buys hardcover? So.
Rich people.
Ooh.
Mr. Moneybags. So,
he had.
Apparently,
I'd like to buy Park Place.
That's right. He's doing the Monopoly Man.
I should explain that before this podcast, I had about a quarter of a pint of ice cream. So
I don't know what effect that would have on you doing the rich man from Monopoly, but
well, if I start to gurgle and I pass out and you hear a thump, that's just me dying of a heart attack.
That'll happen soon enough.
Continue.
I think the podcast would be much better if what's up. I mean. God forbid.
If Connor was dead? Like, hey,
we'd get a lot of traffic if a major medical accident happened during the recording.
We would.
We posted it.
It probably gets a mainstream press.
We'd show up on Dig. Yeah. They'd be like, podcaster dies. Listen here.
And knowing you guys, you would actually, put it on iTunes.
Hell yeah.
It's out of my hands, man. Once the feed gets updated, I can't control it. You know, it's a machine now.
And then promote the hell out of it.
So yeah.
Nice, funeral. Thanks. Hold on, I'm posting on message boards. And it wouldn't quite be as sad as if he did when the Flash died.
No, it wouldn't.
He just said it. No.
All right, question number three.
His last question.
What other Marvel titles do you recommend?
Ron.
I'm the Marvel boy,
well,
aren't I?
Well, let me just jump in real quick and say if he likes New Avengers, then he should try Captain America.
You know, and ironically, I don't buy Captain America.
Right. But, I mean, it's in the Avengers vein, and it's you should just give it a read.
I've heard good things.
I would disagree with the premise of the question. What other Marvel titles do you recommend? There's all sorts of titles we can recommend.
Yeah, but he seems to be a Marvel guy.
Reason to say, hey, if you look outside of this particular hallway, you'll find all sorts of really good things. So buy Invincible. Go along. Go on.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I can get, I mean, and we've said it before in other podcasts, and we can't. I mean, it's the point where, you know, Kirkman should give us like $10 because we've recommended Invincible so much to people.
Only $10.
I'd be happy with $10.
Yeah, I would be happy with $10 if you just threw me a 10 spot and it's just like, hey, thanks. But anyway,
thanks.
But no,
I mean, but if you read comics as a kid and then you're getting into it later in your adult life, I know the few times that I dropped out of comics and got back in, I immediately went to the books that I bought because I wanted to see what happened with them, like where were they and what was going on.
Suckling at the teat of your whore mother.
Right, but then as you get more involved in it, you see that there is other things out there and things like Invincible and things like, you know, Flash and all that kind of stuff is definitely worth checking out. But if he's in the Marvel arena, I would just say go pick up mainly pick up Ultimate Spider-Man, and probably Bendis' run on Daredevil. Those would be the if he's reading New Avengers now, he's reading Astonishing X-Men,
Captain America, I think.
Captain America, yeah, and then just start look at what we picked during the picks of the week.
Did you say Ultimate Spider-Man?
Ones. Yes.
Totally blanked out for a second there.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Did you not have ice cream? Attention.
Brain freeze. But the Ultimate Spider-Mans are out in really beautiful hardcovers that are really, they're printed on really nice paper, and they do a really good. Marvel is actually doing a really good job with reprinting the books pretty quickly.
Or I've got a set of all of the first run comic prints. If you want to write to me, I'll sell them to you for $1,000.
But not on eBay.
No.
Yeah, because you're done with eBay.
Hate eBay.
So thank you, Jason, for writing.
Thank you, Jason. And if anybody out there is curious or has any questions for us, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, and we'd be glad to read your question on the air or on the internet.
And stay off the crack. I think if nothing else from this letter that we learned is that crack ruins comics.
But it's great that a 7-year-old kid is getting into it.
That is good.
So,
that is very good.
So. And actually, your 7-year-old son should buy Ultimate Spider-Man for Xbox, or you have PlayStation, though. Unfortunately, is it out on PlayStation?
I'm sure it is.
I think it is. It's a great game. So,
or there's the Spider-Man for the PSP,
which you recommend as well, right?
I do. I'm recommending it right now. As we speak, it's being recommended.
Pay attention.
I am paying attention. So I guess that's about it for everything we've got to talk about. We could go on for days, but you don't want to.
You know, Ron keeps dodging the vertigo bullet, but eventually it's going to get you, Ron.
I know it'll get me, and I'm not dodging it. I don't mean to dodge it, but we'll talk about it. So it's all the more reason to tune back in.
Next week I'm going to try to get him on the vertigo thing. And I think next week also I want to talk about Tricked, the Alex Robinson book, which I believe we've all now read.
Yes.
Which that was our homework assignment at the end of December, and we've all read it, so...
And it definitely bears discussion.
Yes.
So, I'm not going to call it a shout-out because I think that's ridiculous. But what's going on the Frapper map?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. If you go to ifanboy.com and check out in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link to our Frapper map, which is also at frapper.com/ifanboy, and that's FRAPPR.com. And since the last podcast, we got a bunch of new people who stuck a little pushpin in the map. We got Ian from Astoria in New York, Johnny in Manassas, Virginia, Seth in New York, and Disciple V1 in Northridge, California.
That's right. So, representing the SFV.
We are just...
I got your Strong Island right here.
Nobody cares about us, you know, west of Nebraska.
Yeah, except for a handful of people in California.
Here's my thought about that. I don't think there's anyone there.
You know, and if they're there, they don't have the internet.
They don't have broadband.
Yeah, they definitely don't have broadband. So.
I challenge somebody listening to this show right now who lives between California and Ohio to put a pin in the map.
Yeah, anywhere. Just go to frapper.com/IFAM.
No, I want you to actually live where you put the pin.
Right, no, exactly. No, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, somebody in Colorado Springs, get on the computer and push the pin in. Just prove us wrong.
And I don't want one of the regular iFanboy devotees to go in there and do that for us.
Yeah,
I don't want the dude putting in a fake pin.
Right, we want to earn this one. Okay.
I don't know if the dude would do that, but
he might.
But I also don't want to detract the continuing surrounding of Connor.
I know. I'm surrounded.
We've got Long Island. We've got Astoria. We've got Manhattan. They're just zeroing in on Connor, and you can't run from them.
I'm under siege.
Yeah, you're under siege, exactly. And you know, if you're in Canada, go for it. We won't think oddly of you.
I don't know what that means.
But I'll agree.
It's own with no reference.
Yep.
If you're in Canada,
so.
But come to ifanboy.com. We've had a really good week of discussion. A lot of interesting Smallville discussion.
Yeah, we've really kind of geeked out on Smallville this week, haven't we?
Maybe cool, you two have.
Yeah, and a lot of other people on the site too.
I think can we change the banner at the top to say ifanboy Canada? We won't hold it against you.
Sure. Yeah, Canada. We wish we could quit you.
Oh, boy.
Good time. So, ifanboy.com. And if you have any questions or anything, shoot us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. And I don't think I can say ifanboy.com any more times this podcast.
I try one more time.
One more time. ifanboy.com.
Tegan called me last night to complain to me that we had nothing on our website about the 100th episode of Smallville, and I said, bullshit.
You okay?
I don't know why, but that's really funny.